This is the Oanda Podcast, brought to you by Jazz FM's Business Breakfast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast. I'm Johnny Hart, and today I'm joined by Oanda Senior Market Analyst Craig Earlham in London and Ed Moyer in New York. Hi there, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hello there.
Let's start with the Bank of England and the statement this morning, which has warned that the coronavirus pandemic is set to push the UK economy towards its deepest recession on record, and they're talking about going back to 1707. It said the economy was on course to shrink 14% this year, and that is based on the lockdown being relaxed in June. Craig, if we could start with you, are those figures as bad as originally predicted?
Depends where your predictions are coming from. I think there's been a wide array of predictions, to be honest, with regards to this. And to be honest, I think a lot of the annual predictions which we're seeing now, you can probably take with a pinch of salt, because I think people are having a hard enough time predicting what the numbers are going to look like in the second quarter or even next month. So, I mean, I think it's extremely difficult to really put a number on these things. So I think that's one of the reasons also why people are kind of giving this kind of free pass to a lot of the data. In terms of the Bank of England itself, I mean, yeah, this is obviously quite a shocking figure, but this is also a very different type of recession to what we've seen for so long. So it really does make life very difficult when it comes to comparing and contrasting. Interestingly, obviously, you compare it with the previous crisis that in 1706 or 1707 that you said. I mean, it's kind of almost reminiscent. It's this kind of one-off shock factor. So you're thinking it's just very difficult to really take these numbers and try and anticipate what it means for the longer term. What was interesting with the Bank of England, I think more so than anything, is the fact that this time last Friday, we were talking about the fact that they had moved the meeting. And what did that mean? Did it mean that we were going to see a massive stimulus package? And they just didn't deliver. So it begs the question, why did they bother moving the meeting at all? Because while there wasn't really any rumours over the course of the last week about what they do, there was speculation they could increase the QE programme. Obviously, two central banks now doing QE infinity. And yet they really just delivered nothing, but quite obviously an appalling growth forecast. So that I find a bit strange. And maybe it's something that they're going to in the future under Andrew Bailey. But I thought that was probably the most surprising aspect of the entire report, was the fact that there wasn't actually anything to report in terms of changes, despite the fact that they make this last minute decision to move it to 7 a.m.
Two of its nine members voted to increase the latest round of quantitative easing by 100 billion to 300 billion. It was a bit of a tease, really, wasn't it? Did that have any effect on sterling?
Well, the pound actually lifted after the result, which is why I say I think there was no speculation, there was no rumours, which there usually is in terms of what the central bank will actually do, at least what's going to be discussed. But those rumours didn't really exist that much over the course of the last week. But clearly the markets had priced in something. They just didn't know what. But I mean, you look at the ECB last week. The rumours, the speculation was around, will they increase the PEP program, the pandemic emergency purchase program? Will they increase just the normal quantitative easing program? Will they change the parameters around what's deemed acceptable as part of these bond purchases to allow for these fallen angel bonds, the bonds which were previously investment grade by two notches that have fallen into junk territory since the crisis? Are they going to make these changes at the meeting? So there was conversations happening ahead of this meeting which suggested that we knew what was going to be discussed. And then they kind of surprised with these new programs, the Peltros and reducing the TLTRO3 rates. So it's always difficult to speculate, but clearly the markets were pricing in something, which is why the pound rose after the event. It did pair these gains, but the immediate aftermath of the event, the knee-jerk reaction was 100 pip rise against the dollar. So clearly the markets were expecting something. They just didn't know quite what it was going to be. And then the Bank of England disappointed. Like I say, it was a very confusing start to the day.
Yeah, and the bank's analysis was based on social distancing measures being gradually phased out between June and September. And of course, on Sunday, Prime Minister Boris Johnson will address the nation to outline plans for the next stage of the lockdown. And I'm sure business leaders will be hoping for meaningful relaxation if the lockdown really sort of carries on, rather than just a sort of softly approach focused on things like people having more exercise, which seems a bit piecemeal. Can I ask you, actually, Ed, at the moment, what is the situation with the lockdown in New York? We hear differing cases across the United States as to which state is going in which direction. What's happening in New York at the moment?
Well, the lockdown measures are definitely working out, and I think better in New York. We're starting to see New York no longer lead the way in the daily death toll, and we're seeing new cases continue to drop. And there is big concern, though, that a lot of the Manhattan people and Brooklyn and Queens left the city. And when they come back, and when we start to see a reopening of the economy here, there will be a pretty big second wave, and that's the big concern. I think that for the most part, though, we're not struggling for supply. We've seen some progress on the supply side of protective gear for the health experts and the doctors and nurses. But there's still concerns that we're not going to be well positioned for the second wave. So there's still a little bit of skepticism throughout the rest of the country. We're starting to see some increases in cases, and I think that as you have many over half the states with some type of laxed lockdown conditions, you're going to see in the next week now, because it's been about a week since they've had easier conditions, that we're going to probably see another surge in the U.S. So there are expectations that we'll continue to see the deaths continue to climb. And I think the U.S. is still not over the peak. New York is, but the rest of the country, far from it.
As I mentioned, Craig, Boris Johnson will speak to the nation on Sunday, and a lot of people in the business will be hoping for some sort of meaningful relaxation of the lockdown. Do you think they're going to get it?
No, I think they'll be disappointed. I think there's going to be measures announced, like you mentioned earlier. I think they're going to take a very cautious approach. You've got to remember, this is a government that has been heavily criticised for its handling of the early stages of this crisis, for the time it took them to actually impose these lockdowns. And the numbers that have since followed means there's just enormous pressure on the way they handle this next phase. So I don't expect to see anything significant. There's going to be things which obviously impact our day-to-day lives, I think, over the coming weeks, in terms of who can go back to work and what type of services we can start to see. But I think really, I don't think we're going to notice a huge impact on our lives in terms of how what's going to be announced for another 3 weeks. I think the vast majority of these measures are going to remain in place. It's just going to be things like how many people you can now interact with, whether you can see family again. But I think when it comes to vulnerable people, I still think the same measures are going to be imposed, because these people were vulnerable before, they're still vulnerable now. So I still think there's going to be a big impact on everyone's lives, at least for the next 3 months. And I think those who are vulnerable for much longer than that again.
Of course, it's a public holiday in the UK tomorrow to commemorate VE Day. America continues, Ed, and the figures probably will focus on the latest employment statistics. Just how bad are they expected to be?
It's going to be ugly. April, we're looking at over 21 million jobs lost. The unemployment rate is supposed to skyrocket to 16%. And as if that was not tough enough to gauge what the reaction will be, the Labor Department is also fixing some miscalculations they had with last month's report. So out of workers who were not paid due to COVID-19, they should be counted as unemployed, not working. So you're going to see, there's a chance that we could see the unemployment rate even go as high as 20%. So that'll be strictly off recalculations. And so what happens with that, sometimes the market will kind of overlook the big print, but if we do see a 20% unemployment rate, I think that will, it's going to be hard for risk appetite to remain as strong as it has been throughout this recent rebound. And I think the big thing, though, that what we're getting a good handle of is when we take a look at the jobless claims figures. It right now it's pointing that many states are gonna have an unemployment rate of 25%. So the economic pain is widespread. It's through across all industries, and it's just gonna be a big exclamation point to just how bad the economy is, and you know, it's going to all hinge on reopening. And I think that if we take a look at what the health experts are expecting, it's going to get really ugly in the next few weeks. So there's going to be a lot of concern as far as, well, second quarter is just going to be disastrous. And, the reopening will have to really intensify or pick up in third quarter. So it's going to be hard to imagine how equities can remain this resilient throughout a rough next couple of months.
Before we talk about next week, guys, I just wanted a quick word about oil. Craig, a much better week for oil, and it's back to sort of normal-ish levels.
Yeah, it is. I mean, normal-ish at $25. I think a month ago, 2 months ago, we'd be talking about that as being extraordinarily low and a massive risk to the oil sector, whereas now this is the result of a 5 or 6 day strong run that's got us back to these levels, some days double-digit percentage gains. Ultimately, what we're seeing is the prospect of economies reopening, which obviously has a positive impact because that affects the demand side of the equation, which has suffered a 30% contraction. We've also got production cuts from here, there and everywhere at this point. We've got effectively companies not pumping. So, I mean, this is keeping it in the ground, as it were. So, I mean, this is the result of that. But we're still at extremely low levels here, and I still see this as being very vulnerable, even following such a strong rebound. The fact remains that we are still near capacity in the US. And while this may have bought the US a little bit more time, that doesn't mean that all problems are solved. I still think, actually, a lot of extra demand is being priced in far too much. This idea that reopening economies is going to make that significant a difference, that people are just going to start going about their ordinary day-to-day lives, I still think maybe a little bit too much optimism is priced in. And I think a lot of the cuts which we're seeing as well announced are not for right now. They are to be cut. So the numbers are going to be interesting over the course of the next couple of weeks. Obviously, if this oil rally can be sustained now over the next 7 days, over the next, well, what, 7 days to 2 weeks, 10 days or so, going into the expiry of that June contract, if we can sustain these moves into there and we don't see enormous volatility again and we don't see the shocks and we don't see the capacity issues come back to the fore, that would be a massive supporting factor for prices, because that shows that this is a market which is taking the current situation in its stride. I'm just not necessarily that confident that we won't see a lot more, not necessarily to the same magnitude, but that we won't see a little bit more more volatility going into the expiry of that contract, given the capacity issues are very much still existent.
Finally, Ed, to you first, your look ahead to next week and what stands out for you.
I think markets are going to be primarily focused with how the spread of the virus is persisting in both Europe and the US. I think, as you highlighted before, the UK has... they're still seeing roughly 3% daily gains in new cases. And I think that you're going to really need to see that start to drop off. I think, reopening is likely to gain traction once you see that closer to 1%. And with the US, it's going to be a big focus with, we've seen Georgia have a much more, a disappearance of social distancing measures in place. So we're going to look to see if we have any surge or spikes with new cases. And I think investors are going to be primarily focused on the virus side. As far as the economic data, we'll get inflation data from the CPI data from the US. I think that right now that's not really going to move the needle. With respect to with some of the rate decisions coming up, the New Zealand Central Bank is also going to have a meeting, and I think right now everyone has seen a lot of the the advanced economies deliver large amounts of stimulus. And right now it seems that the approach is wait and see, kind of just more of like the what the BOE just did today. So I think we're going to see no big surprises from New Zealand Central Bank. And to wrap things up, I think really it's going to be also on that jobless claims on Thursday. That's really the best gauge for the health of the U.S. economy. So we'll look to see if that has another $1 million print, and it'll probably still be high. And the concerns will be, what is going to be the total amount of permanent job loss in the U.S. And the longer we keep seeing $1 million readings for jobless claims, the worse the outlook becomes.
And final word to you, Craig, for next week.
Yeah, not really too much to add, to be honest. The UK GDP number on Wednesday could be quite interesting, but obviously a lot of this precedes the lockdown, and really everything only kicked off right at the end of the quarter into the second quarter. So it will be interesting to see exactly what we have there. But apart from that, I mean, I think Ed's got everything covered there. It is a relatively quiet week on the data front. Whether that makes any difference or not is another thing, because as we've already alluded to earlier, This is a market that is overlooking the economic data. It's the same market that's given a free pass to earnings season, which is slowly winding down. So I think there's going to be a lot more emphasis on economic reopenings or soft reopenings, and we'll see where we go from there. But I think that's where all the emphasis is going to be. And of course, continuing on oil prices, as I've already alluded to, going into that expiry, we'll see if that kind of positivity, that momentum keeps up.
Okay, guys, have a good weekend. We're going to have a long weekend, so hopefully there'll be some good weather to enjoy. I'll speak to you again soon.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Podcast from the team behind Jazz FM's Business Breakfast, a daily early morning 30-minute briefing for the day ahead. On air from 6 a.m. Listen to Jazz FM on DAB, online, or just ask Alexa.